Your mic is on.
Is it the volume on your? Of course, if she can't hear us, there's no point speaking to her. Oops. Could someone maybe phone Margaret Nielsen and? Oh, she's okay. Good. That's great. Well, good morning, everyone. We're almost at the top of the hour. And it's really lovely to see you all gathering. Can I ask you all to check that you're muted so that we don't get background noise? That'd be really good, thank you. And my goodness, here we are, the 7th of March already. Where has this year gone? I don't know. So we'll have the PowerPoint up in a moment. There we go, thank you. So yeah, a very warm welcome to everybody to our church service, 4th St. Paul's Parish Church in South Lanarkshire in Scotland. It's really good to welcome you all on this, the third Sunday in Lent. There are not many intimations at all this morning, but just to remind you that all church services will be on Zoom until further notice, but at least there are inklings that things are going to change. And the short course on prayer that I've been running, we've had the first two sessions, but there are another two, and they run on Thursdays. So it'll be this Thursday, the 11th, and the following one, the 18th, from 3 till 4 p.m. on Zoom. Please do contact me if you're interested in joining into that. I think we're having some really interesting discussions and learning a lot through this course. So it's really good. Today, we are looking at the Bible reading, continuing in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 6, verses 6 to 13, which we'll hear shortly. We're here, I love to remind you all that we're here to worship God together. God is love. He loves each and every one of us. If he didn't, we wouldn't be able to love each other. His love precedes our love for others. And God's love is a perfect love which drives out all fear. I think the words of this psalm are really beautiful. So let's open our hearts and minds to them. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands.
Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge.
They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them.
Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world.
May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Amen.
Our first hymn is a lovely version of Look at the World, a wonderful reminder of what a wonderful world we live in.
Thank you.
All things come of thee, of God. I hope you enjoyed both the images and the words of that beautiful hymn. A lovely reminder that all of creation is given to us by God as signs of his love. Because God does love us, and he really wants us to know that and to know him. And it is said that in order to teach us this, he's given us two books. So I wonder if you've got any idea what those two books are. Yeah, of course. One of them is the Bible. This wonderful, wonderful book. Well, actually, it's more a library of many small books, which is just full of information about God, invitations to us to get to know God better and to grow closer to him. So that's one book, but I said there are two books. I wonder if any of you know what the other book is. Of course, it's a book that people who can't read can look at and get to know God. It's a book in the loosest form. It's a book that people don't have a Bible, the actual what we think of as a book, of their own. Yeah, of course, that second book is creation. As the psalm that we started with, Psalm 19, and as that beautiful hymn told us, all the trees and hills, oceans and rivers, plants and animals, the sun, the moon, the stars, all the galaxies, all things come from God and tell us about him. And they're also there to invite us to grow closer to him, to get to know him better. I heard someone speaking the other day about being in class at university many years ago, and the lecturer invited them to pose the question, why does the universe extend as far as it does? Why doesn't it just stop a mile or so outside the atmosphere of the Earth? It's a great question, isn't it? And it's one of those questions that makes us go, wow, and start thinking a bit more about God. Well, I don't know what your favourite bit of creation is, but one of my favourites is seeing lambs. And I just discovered, and I was watching yesterday, that Dooney's Farm, a rare breeds farm up near Stonehaven, have got a live lamb cam. So it was great fun to just sit in my house and watch a ewe giving birth and then watch the lambs playing around. But you've probably got your own things that are your favourite signs of beauty, signs of creation that draw us closer to God. And when that does happen, we really want to clap our hands and shout for joy, to sing about our very good God, God who loves and cares for us. And that's what we're going to do with our next song, Clap Your Hands. And watch out for the beginning, because some very strange things happen when the person singing it claps her hands.
Hi, we're going to sing a song about our very good God who loves and cares for us. It's called Clap Your Hands. Now, I'm sure you already know how to clap your hands, but just in case you don't, you take one hand and the other hand and you hit them together and they make a sound like this. Hang on. That's not right. Oh, there we go. Okay, how How about you clap along with me?
Enjoyed that one. And we now, I now invite Robert to lead us in prayer.
Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you this morning for life and for everything that we have to enjoy. We praise you for the book of nature. Help us listen for your voice and the wonders that surround us, that speak to us of your creative will and your ways of caring love. Most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You sent him so that we can see your face and learn of your wisdom through all that he said and all that he did. We praise for you for your holy healing spirit, leading us to new ways and wisdom in and for the world. Gracious God, as we gather before you this morning, each in our own places, but united by a desire to know you better, lift up our hearts and minds to your glory. Some of us are happy. Some of us are bowed down by life's cares, fearful of failing in life's journey. We know, Lord, that at times we go our own way and not the way that you have planned for us. There are times that our thoughts, that our words, that our deeds do not tell of the glory of your love, love for you and love for each other. And we have hurt those who journey life's road with us. Forgive us, merciful God, and set us on the right road. Forgive us when we get stuck in the ruts of negative thinking. Forgive us when we are judgmental and unkind. Forgive us when we demand all and give nothing. Forgive us when we close our ears to your guidance and go our own way and walk our own road. Teach us, good Lord, your way, and lead us so that we may each find the destination that you have planned for us. Open our ears, open our eyes, open our minds, and help us to journey as disciples should journey. Help us to walk together in the ways of your kingdom. Teach us now, good Lord, for we are gathered to learn from you, the giver of life and love. This we ask in Jesus' name, to whom be all glory and power. and in whose words we now pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Thank you so much, Robert. And now I invite Stephen to read from Mark's Gospel for us.
Mark 6, verse 6 to 13. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Jesus sends out the 12. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. May God bless his reading of his word. Amen.
Thank you, Steve. This next beautiful hymn seemed to speak to me of being sent out. I heard you calling in the night. Is it me, Lord? Is it me?
Thank you.
empty minds. Probably sounds like a very strange title for my reflections. But it comes from many different sources this week. I confess, earlier in the week, when I read this passage, my mind was empty. Didn't know what I was going to say that today. And then it came to me that actually the best way to approach the Bible when we're reading it is to come with no preconceived ideas, with empty minds, which can be quite difficult to do when, for many of us, we've been reading the Bible for years and our minds might well be set on a certain interpretation. It can be difficult to get out of that and read the words afresh each time. So the first thing that struck me was Jesus was amazed at the lack of faith among his family and friends in Nazareth, as we heard last week. Now, I usually think of amazement in the Bible as being shown by the people, by us, as a result of something that Jesus has said or done. Like that beautiful hymn that Robert chose last week, "I stand amazed in the presence." Yet here in today's passage, Jesus is the one who is amazed. And it's not amazed in a good way. So what do we think? Would Jesus be amazed by us? By our faith? By our church today? And if he is amazed, is it in a good way or not? The story continues. Jesus doesn't allow the rejection of his ministry and teaching to stop him. In fact, maybe it was the impetus to him to expand his ministry. For we read that he went around the villages teaching himself and then called his disciples and sent them out in twos, twos company. I often wonder what it was that he told them. What did he say to them? Mark's gospel tells us some of that. But I imagine him saying, "Well, guys, you've seen how my own family and friends can reject me. So don't be surprised when not everyone you meet wants to hear the good news." And I wonder, how exactly did he give them authority over impure spirits? We don't understand what that meant 2,000 years ago, and we certainly don't know what it means for us today. But as always, I try and focus on what we do know. We do know that the name of Jesus is the source of authority. And of course, we have one thing that those disciples did not, something that makes all the difference. We have experienced the faithfulness of God in Jesus, crucified and risen. As Nikki Gumbel wrote just this week, "The greatest turnaround in history took place on the cross. What looked like an utter defeat, God turned around into the greatest victory of all time." We are so fortunate to know that. But then Jesus' practical instructions are fairly straightforward. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them.
So the disciples were to travel light, empty-handed, dependent on the hospitality and generosity of strangers. This ensured that they were not superior to anyone they met, that they were vulnerable and therefore completely non-threatening. And in case we think that this is impossible in 21st century Europe, there are actually a few stories, fairly recent, of people doing just that, setting off to walk long distances with nothing. There's a really hilarious book called Free Country by George Mahood, which describes how he and his friend set off literally with nothing. If you want a really funny book to read, I would recommend it. And the common denominator of these different stories is that the majority of people they encountered were actually very generous. And I found the same thing walking the Camino and other long distance walks. Plus, when you're walking a long distance, you very soon discover the value of traveling light. Matty and Maggie will agree with me on that. Well, Jesus continues that once the disciples were welcomed by a family, they were to stay in the same home until they left that village. What struck me is that that must sometimes have been quite difficult for that family. We don't know quite how long they stayed, hopefully only a day or two. And I can see that it would have been nice for the two disciples to stay in one place, to sleep in the same bed, at least for a couple of nights. But it reminded me of when I was in Tyree. There was a preacher who used to visit the island twice a year, and he always stayed with the same family. And I really wondered about that. Occasionally, other islanders would invite him out for a meal. But I struggled with that. It seemed unfair that he expected hospitality from that one family twice a year, every year. But then it was biblical. The reference to shaking the dust off their feet as they left a place which did not welcome them is probably based on an old Jewish tradition. This was that when a Jewish person traveled through a non-Jewish town, they would shake the dust off their feet as they left. It was a way of demonstrating what they thought of non-Jews. But I wonder if it made anybody think again in those places where they weren't welcomed. A lot of history, but what does this story mean for us today? Especially at the moment during this pandemic, we can't travel around as itinerant preachers or pilgrims, even if we wanted to. But I do think we can learn a lot about how we should approach anyone we meet or speak to, whether in person or on the phone. We should go, as Jesus told the disciples, empty-handed. And I suggest also with empty minds. Okay, what do I mean by that? Well, first, I believe that by having no visible possessions when meeting someone, we're not going to risk them feeling inferior to us, nor threatened by us. And it helps us treat everyone with unconditional positive regard, behaving towards everyone as we believe Jesus would behave. And by going with empty minds, what I mean is that we should not approach someone full of what we want to say, of how we have the answer to all their problems. And we certainly don't want to hit them with too many Bible quotations, which may well sound to them like a foreign language. Now, don't get me wrong, we do have, in Jesus, the answer to many problems. But until we take the time to really listen to the other person, to get to know them, how can we possibly know about their problems? Think back to last week's Bible reading and how our worship team showed how well that Jesus was rejected because people thought they knew him, but they didn't really know him. I recall vividly during my training, a recently ordained minister came to speak to us about pastoral work. We asked him what he would take with him on a visit, expecting to hear him say, "Well, a Bible, surely. Maybe a notebook. Maybe some inspirational verses on cards that he could leave. Or a gift, maybe flowers or home baking. Or maybe he'd take his diary so he could arrange another visit." But his answer stopped us all in our tracks. His answer was this: "I take nothing with me except Jesus Christ." He further explained how he prayed before, during, and after every visit. And during the visits, he mainly just listened. And as I've discovered over the years, if I approach a visit with an empty mind, then it's much easier to really listen and then remember what people say. If my mind is already full, even if it is full of really good Bible verses, really holy thoughts and wonderful prayers, it's still full and therefore has less space to receive, to really listen. And God really listens. He hears the suffering of our world. He has no hands but our hands, no feet but our feet. So is God calling us to go? I believe he is. And you know, when he does, it's most often to do something really small and insignificant, but a small part of his plan for showing love to the world, for changing the world. He might be prompting us to make a phone call, to write a letter or a card, take a portion of soup to a neighbor. There's so many little things that I know all of you do all the time. And when we do these things, let's remember to go with empty minds so that we're ready to listen to God and to the person that we visit in whatever way. Amen. Let's now come before God in prayer. Loving, living God, we come before you in awe and wonder, overflowing with thanksgiving for all that you give us. The whole of creation declares, without words, your abundant love for us. And we long to fully appreciate everything and not take even the smallest thing for granted. Lord, our hearts and minds are full of gratitude, yet they're also full of our worries and concerns. So help us now to empty our minds and hearts, pouring out everything to you. We pray for anyone who is feeling empty today. empty of physical or spiritual food, empty of energy, empty of emotions, wrung out, empty of love. Lord, when we are overwhelmed, lead us to your abundant love and fill us with your grace and peace. We pray for anyone today who is feeling full of anger and frustration, full of fear and anxiety, full of dread, full of worries. Lord, when we are overwhelmed, lead us to your abundant love and fill us with your grace and peace. We pray today for those who are grieving, in particular, all families who lost babies in the last year and longer ago. Lord, when we are overwhelmed, lead us to your abundant love. Fill us with your grace and peace. We pray for all who have cancer, who are undergoing treatment, or waiting for test results, scans, and treatments, and for all who care for them, both medical staff and families and friends. And we also pray for the many people who have other medical conditions, who are undergoing treatment or more often waiting and waiting. Lord, when we are overwhelmed, lead us to your abundant love and fill us with your grace and peace. Loving, living God, we thank you that you hear our prayers so much better than we speak them, that you long for us to empty ourselves, unburden ourselves before you, so that you can fill us up with your amazing grace, your peace, which is beyond our understanding, and your glorious love. In all the holy names of God. Amen. Our final hymn today is traditionally a hymn that we sing on Easter Day. But I thought that this year, going through the pandemic, it would be really good to hear its wonderful promises today in the middle of Lent. Because the glory and the victory over death is not just for Easter Day, it's for every day. Thine be the glory. So as we face the beginning of another week, not really knowing exactly what it's going to bring, let's make sure that we empty our minds and hearts of anything that's holding us back or restricting us, so that God can fill them with his love, his grace, and his peace. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all and remain with us forever. Amen.